I am very grateful to be amongst all of you this evening. It is a special honor and fortune to be in the holy Kshetra of Shri Tirupati, which is praised in the Puranas and worshipped by great acharyas since time immemorial. Sri Venkateshwar attracts more people to have his blessed darshan than anywhere else on the planet Earth. It is quite amazing. I was told by business experts that the most important consideration in attracting customers is a good accessible location. Tirupati is very far from any mainstream population. And Tirumala is a high, arduous mountain on top of that. And yet sometimes hundreds and thousands of people a day come from all over the world. Why? That is the power of Sri Balaji. Krishna is all attractive. One day, the great Ramanujacharya was giving a lecture on the writings of Nam Alwar. He was glorifying Sri Tirupati. In the Sri Sampradaya, Sri Ranganath in Sri Rangam is famous as the deity who enjoys wonderful bhoga. Sri Varadraj in Kanchipuram is the lord who makes great sacrifices for the welfare of his devotees. And Sri Venkateshwar in Tirumala especially enjoys accepting wonderful ornaments of flowers from his devotees. Sri Ramanujacharya was speaking in his headquarters in Sri Rangam, surrounded by devotees. He inquired from those devotees, "Is there anyone amongst you who would go to Tirupati and live on that mountain to grow beautiful gardens of flowers and offer them to Balaji?" There was complete silence. In those days, approximately 900 years ago, during the time of Sri Ramanujacharya, Tirumala was a very, very isolated place, surrounded by forests, thick forests with fierce, dangerous animals, no conveniences whatsoever. And worse than that, their Guru Maharaj, Sri Ramanujacharya, was living in Sri Rangam. Who wants to leave their Guru Maharaj to live in a far distant place? The silence continued. Then one devotee of the name Anant Acharya spoke up. "My dear Guru Maharaj, if it is your desire that I should go to Tirupati to make a flower garden for Balaji, then I will go with your blessings." Ramanujacharya's heart melted with happiness. He extolled the glories of this disciple who was so very dear to him, willing to make such sacrifices to execute the order of Guru. Anantacharya at once, along with his wife, departed for the top of the mountain in the forests of Tirumala, walking all the way from Sri Ranga Kshetra. He established a beautiful flower garden with his own hands. Every morning and every evening he was offering those flowers and garlands to Venkateshwar. He wanted to dig with his own hands a nice tank of water for the pleasure of the deities. After completing it, he wanted to expand it to a bigger size. He had a spade. He was digging the earth and putting it in a bucket. And he would hand it to his wife. And while he was continuing his digging with spade, his wife would empty the bucket some distance away. In this way, they were moving the dirt. Balaji was so pleased to see their surrender, but he could not tolerate see them working so hard. So he took the form of a very beautiful young Brahmin boy. He was wearing a nice golden dhoti and jeweled earrings. The boy pleaded with Anantacharya, "You are working so hard, but I am young and strong. Please take me with you today. I want to help you." Anantacharya responded that you are a very young boy. Your body is very delicate. You should be enjoying life in your youth. I am an older man. My body is meant for this hard labor. So you enjoy your youthful pastimes, my child, and let me do this hard work. But the boy insisted, "Please let me help you. Take me with you." Anantacharya became very emotional. He said, "My service is my nourishment, my food, it is my very life. If you take away my service, you take away my life. If you want to do seva for the Lord, then go somewhere else and do it." Balaji was disappointed. After some time, Anantacharya's wife became pregnant with child. So in the disguise of that same Brahmin, the child went to his wife secretly. "My dear lady, please let me help you to carry these buckets of dirt." "No, this is not possible," she said. "My husband already rejected your proposal." Balaji told her, "You are working so hard and you are carrying a baby in your womb." And with a very enchanting voice, he said, "Let your husband fill the bucket. You bring it till you're out of his sight, and then I'll take it and I'll bring it the rest of the distance, empty it and bring it back to you, and he will never know." So she said, "Yes." But after some time, Anantacharya asked his wife, "How is it that you are bringing the bucket back so fast?" She told him the whole story about this Brahmin boy. He was very disturbed. This person was taking away their service to the Lord. Devotional service is not a chore. It is not work. Devotional service is the greatest honor and the most cherished benediction. There are 8,400,000 species of life. The human form is very rare. Durlabha manava janama satsanghe taroho e bhavo sindhuri. And in this human form of life, the rarest thing is the association of devotees. Because in that association, we learn the process of service to the Lord. It is our eternal constitutional position, jivera swarupoi krishnera nitya das, that the spirit soul is the eternal servant of the Lord. Any service, it is such a great benediction. It has taken us millions of births to achieve. We should never take it as something ordinary. Anantacharya had full realization of this truth. This child is trying to take away my service to the Lord. There are so many different services this child could be doing for the Lord. Why does he want to take the little service I have? He became angry, picked up his digging spade, and chased after the little boy. The boy ran away, but he was running right behind. The boy climbed the tree. Anantacharya called out, "Come down, come down." But he refused to come down. Finally, the boy said, "I will give you my golden dhoti and my earring." Anantacharya pretended to agree with him. The boy came down. And immediately Anantacharya ran to punish him. And the little boy ran, and he ran. And just with a desire to scare him, just to stop him, he threw his spade in the direction of the boy. But it happened to scrape the boy's chin. The little boy kept running, and Anantacharya was chasing after. The little boy ran right into Balaji's temple, jumped in the Didi room and closed the doors and locked them. Some hours later, the pujari came. Anantacharya said, "The little boy ran in the Didi room and he's still there. He hasn't come on out yet." With great effort, he opened the door. Anantacharya saw something that melted his heart. That ancient, merciful deity of Sri Venkateshwar was standing giving his darshan with blood flowing from his chin. Anantacharya understood now that that little boy was the Lord himself. He offered his obeisances again and again and begged forgiveness from the Lord. And he made a mixture of camphor and other herbs and put it as a salve on the chin of the Lord. Lord Balaji spoke to him. He said, "I am very pleased with you, my devotee. You are so deeply absorbed in attachment to your devotional service to please me. You have conquered my heart. The Lord bestowed all blessings upon him. And even to this day, for almost 900 years, Balaji has that camphor and herb potion put on his chin every day to glorify his devotee." And in the Gopuram leading to Sri Balaji's temple, even to this day, is the spade of Anantacharya. I have told this story for the pleasure of our Nityananda Prabhu, who is an ocean of such pastimes. Nityananda Prabhu, please stand up. Ramanujacharya decided to come on pilgrimage to Tirupati. He traveled with several of his most confidential disciples. When he came into the area, he stopped in many places. He came upon a simple sudra pulling water out of a well. Ramanujacharya asked him, "Which is the way to Tirumala?" The Shudra gave him direction. To everyone's great surprise, Ramanujacharya offered repeated dandavat obeisances to that Shudra. He was asked by his disciples, "Why? Why, Guru Maharaj, are you offering so many prostrated obeisances to this lower caste person?" He said, "Tirupati is Vaikuntha. This man has told me the way to reach Vaikuntha."
ఈ యొక్క వ్యక్తి వైకుంఠానికి చేరేదానికి మార్గాన్ని నాకు చూపించాడు అని చెప్పి చెప్పాడు.
"So I accept him as my Guru Maharaj." Ramanujacharya remained below the hill of Tirumala and was lecturing.
So Ramanujacharya varu.
Meanwhile, Anantacharya was on top of the hill doing his gardening and offering his flowers to Balaji, waiting for Guru Maharaj to come, but Guru Maharaj was not coming. I'm sorry for calling it a hill. It is seven mountains, which are none different than the body of Anantashesha. And he approached his Guru Maharaj and said, "Please come to the top and have the darshan of Balaji and see the garden I have made for you. I have named the garden Ramanuj Garden, and I named the tank of water Ramanuj Pukur." His Guru Maharaj responded, "I cannot walk on the hill. this mountain is worshipable. It is Vaikuntha. It is the body of Adi Shesha. I cannot put my feet upon it. I will remain in the bottom at Tirupati and I will offer my prayers and glorifications and pujas. Anantacharya said, Guru Maharaj, if you don't go up there, then what is my position? It is your disciples who are taking care of the deities. If you are not fit to step on this hill, then we all have to come down. If you are not fit to walk on this hill, then for all generations in the future, no one will walk on this hill. And Balaji will have no one to serve him. So for the pleasure of Balaji, please come. So he agreed. But some people say that he climbed up the hill on his knees so he would not touch it with his feet. And he refused to eat or pass water or anything else because he didn't want to desanctify the mountain. This was the nature of his devotion. And after one day, he decided to come down. But one of his Guru Maharajas were living there, named Sri Shailapurna. It is interesting, when Ramanujacharya first arrived in the top of the hill, Sri Shailapurna personally greeted him with garlands and Mahaprasad of Balaji. Ramanujacharya asked him, why are you coming and carrying all of this prasad and garlands for me such a long distance? You are my respectable Guru Maharaj. Why didn't you find a junior neophyte person to make this delivery to me? Sri Shailapurna responded, what you are saying is true. However, I looked in all directions and I could not find anyone anywhere that was more of a neophyte than me. Everyone is senior to me. Therefore, I had to bring this delivery myself. Ramanujacharya and his followers were struck with wonder to see the humility of this great personality. Sri Shailapurna was Ramanujacharya's uncle, his mother's brother. He personally gave his nephew the name Ramanuja. He told his disciple that you should not leave today because according to the Shastras, you should remain here for 3 days. He remained for 3 days fasting, absorbed in performing puja and offering prayers and devotion to Sri Venkateshwar. And then he came down to the bottom of the hill where we are today. And Sri Shailapurna instructed Ramanujacharya in the teachings of Valmiki's Ramayana for one full year in Tirupati. During that time, Anantacharya was begging his Guru Maharaj that if you leave, how will I survive in separation from you? I do not know if I will ever see you again. So Anantacharya begged his Guru Maharaj, please allow me to carve a deity in your presence and worship that deity throughout my life. Ramanujacharya did not deny his request. The deity was carved. And Ramanujacharya, out of his ecstatic love for his disciple who surrendered everything for him, embraced that deity, and in doing so, invested his presence within the form for eternity. And even to this day, to the left of Balaji's temple, is that original deity of Sri Ramanujacharya, the first deity ever made of him. It was worshipped by Sri Anantacharya in love and separation for the rest of his life. One day, as Anantacharya was picking tulsi leaves to make a garland for Venkateshwar, he was suddenly struck by a venomous serpent, cobra. By that time, Anantacharya had many disciples. They were horrified. His Guru Maharaj was just bit by a cobra. Should I continue? Anantacharya paid no attention. He just went on with his picking flowers for Balaji's service. His disciples were very disturbed. They said, Guru Maharaj, please, let us find a doctor and take some treatment. This poison is spreading and rising throughout your body. But Anantacharya dismissed them and would not accept any help. So the disciples didn't know what to do. They went to Balaji and prayed, please, tell our guru to take medicine and see a doctor who was bit by a cobra. Balaji spoke to him. He said that you were bitten by a venomous cobra. There is deadly poison in your body. You have to do something about it. See a doctor, take medicine, do something about this poison. Aren't you going to do anything? Anantacharya, with folded hands, spoke to the deity. Please listen carefully. If you understand this principle which we are about to reveal, you will understand the path of perfection. Anantacharya said, my dear Lord, please tell me, which poison are you talking about? There is a cobra living within me, and he has poisoned me with false ego, pride, and greed. Are you talking about this poison? Or are you talking about the poison from that earthly snake that bit my body? The snake that bit my body today, its poison can only cause harm to my body, but it can do nothing for my eternal soul. But the poison of ego and greed can destroy my very soul.